Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on! Good morning. Happy Wednesday. Happy pregame show. Happy pre-dawn. Haven't used that term in a while. Happy pre-dawn. That used to be a thing. But it's Wednesday, and these are the times in football season where it's just, it's kind of dead. You really got nothing going on unless there's crazy Jalen Ramsey news that we need to catch up on, and there's some sound I want to play from Lewis Riddick. I know we talked about it at length yesterday, but this sound we didn't get to, and I didn't hear this up until yesterday, and I got to play this sound from Lewis Riddick, which should give 49er fans some hope, and I have a reason why Raider fans should feel, I'm not going to say, yeah, you should not want Jalen Ramsey after hearing this sound, but I also have some reasoning as to why you should probably feel a little questionable about it. But that's up for debate. I also want to talk about what Peter King said on the station yesterday. Bonte and Steiny and Guru had Eric Armstead. I want to talk about that, too, because there was some interesting sound from him. And then I want to get to some Alex Boone sound that I played or that I didn't play yesterday that I wanted to get to, talking about the offensive line for the 49ers. And also, I want to get the top five fan bases you'd least want to be a part of right now. And I also want to get the thoughts on how you're feeling currently as a 49er and a Raider fan base. And we'll get into all that coming up. But there's a question I do have. It's a non-sports question. It's 5 a.m. It's Wednesday in the middle of the week. And I have a weird one, though. What's your strategy when it comes to eating a slice of pizza? I had that last night. I had some pizza, right? And I had never been the type of guy to take a bite of the crust when I'm in the middle of biting a slice. And so what do you know? I took a bite just right at the beginning, right at the point of the slice of pizza. I took a bite, took a couple, and then I took a bite of the crust, and then I found that the bite after the crust in the middle of the pizza, it's one of the best bites of pizza I ever had. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. What is your strategy when it comes to eating a slice of pizza? All right, I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about this. I just wanted to get your opinion because I'd never taken a bite of the crust before until yesterday. Maybe I was just missing out. Not a body text line, but there is something I want to get to, and we haven't talked about baseball in a while on this show, but there are certain things that happen in baseball that differentiate it from any other sport, and this is one of the moments that I'm talking about.
He does. High into center field. It is out of here. Unbelievable. Number 20 here at Fenway Park for Mike Yastrzemski.
And Mike Yastrzemski hit his home run in his debut at Fenway Park for the Giants from the 925 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. What a cringe show. Hey, I just want to know your best strategy when it comes to eating a slice of pizza. What a cringe text, 925. From the 510, fold it and eat it crust. Fold it and eat it. Crust is for last. And also crust first from the 510. So you're getting mixed texts here on the Chilton Auto Body text on how to eat a slice of pizza. But yeah, there's certain things that happen in baseball where you think, this is there's stuff that happens of sentimental value in baseball, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen in any other sports, but more than anything, I think that it happens in baseball all the time, quite often. And whether it's, earlier this season, whether it was Mike Trout wearing Tyler Skaggs's number and then hitting a home run in that game, or, we could go a couple of seasons back where Jose Fernandez died and you had D. Gordon hit a home run when he hadn't hit a home run in I don't remember how many games, but there are certain things of sentimental value that happen within baseball. And the fact that Mike Yastrzemski went out there, didn't know if he was even going to be in the big leagues. He was almost optioned to AAA earlier this season. And then he goes into Fenway where his grandfather, Carl Yastrzemski, was an absolute legend. And he goes and hits a home run. And there's nothing really that's cooler than that. That's what makes baseball special. There was a time when baseball was America's pastime. And I think that I just looking at that moment last night and watching it, you knew that it meant something to him because he's just trying to kind of hold it back. You could see all the teammates are going after him. Bruce Bochy even letting out a smile and a high five, which you don't really see all that often from Bruce Bochy. You see the high five, but you just see him kind of scowling because that's what Bruce Bochy does. But there are certain things that happen like that. And Chilton Autobody text line 957-95-888-957-9570. Certain sentimental things in sports, is there anything that's stood out to you before? Because there's certain things that happen. And there's also interesting stats, weird ones that come out. There's one that came out about Marcus Semien. Yays got the 2-1 win yesterday, by the way. And also the Giants got the win in extra innings. So, that one lasted a little bit too long. But, who's to say 15 innings is too long? But there was a stat that came out about Marcus Semien a couple of days ago. And this is what makes it interesting because you're comparing these newer players to the older ones. And this is from the A's baseball information manager, Mike Selleck. I didn't know that was a thing. Below is a list of players in Major League history with at least 116 runs, 173 hits, 38 doubles, 7 triples, 30 home runs, 85 RBIs, 78 walks, and 10 stolen bases in a season. Did you get all that? 116 runs, 173 hits, 38 doubles, 7 triples, 30 home runs, 85 RBIs, 78 walks, and 10 stolen bases in a season. Below are the list of players who have done that. Babe Ruth, twice, Lou Gehrig, twice, and Marcus Semien in 2019. There are all these little nuanced stats, and that's about as nuanced as it gets, but if you're going to try and find any way to put Marcus Semien in the same class as Babe Ruth or Lou Gehrig, I guess that's the way to do it. Just look up the runs, hits, doubles, triples, home runs, RBIs, walks, and stolen bases. I wonder how much information that manager actually did, the information manager, how much research he had to do. All right, we got some text here. These are good ones about the pizza here. I asked at the beginning of the show, what is the best way to eat a slice of pizza? Because I'd always seen people eat the crust, and I was like, wow, you're a little odd. But then I tried it, and then I realized that I was the odd one. So let's look here. 707, eat the whole pizza, save the crust, and dip it in ranch or blue cheese. I'm not going to dip pizza in blue cheese. I just can't do it. From the 323, I don't enjoy the crust too much, so I bite the pizza and eat some crust as I go because I don't want all the crust at the end since I don't enjoy it too much, and I don't like to leave the crust uneaten either. I do not like a pizza eater who just leaves the crust. Like, that's just a waste. And I realize that that bite of pizza that you are getting when you take that bite of the crust when you're in the middle of eating the slice, that just leaves for a better bite of pizza. It's like a revelation. From the 925, you probably won't mention the fact that Liam Hendricks set the A's strikeout record for a reliever yesterday. Really? I did not even know that. Yeah, I didn't even know that. That's unbelievable. I mean, when you look at, who are the most recent relievers that I could think of that were the best of the best for them? I mean, obviously, Dennis Eckersley is the greatest of all time as far as relievers go, but he wasn't always on the A's. And you look at Houston Street, his career didn't really last. Who was that closer that ended up going to the Red Sox? Oh, man, I can't even remember his name right now. But, yeah, that's interesting. I didn't even know that. From the 510, if anything, Semien is better than Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth played with cab driver. Oh, my God. Are you serious? If anything, Semien is better than Babe Ruth? I mean, you need to reevaluate the way you look at baseball. I mean, I understand recency bias, and Marcus Semien's a great player. As a matter of fact, I think that if he plays his cards right, he has a chance to be in the MVP conversation going forward if he continues to play the way that he's doing. But to say that he's even better than Babe Ruth, I mean, sheesh. From the 559, as a kid, I remember when Ken Griffey Jr. got to play with his dad for the first time with the Mariners. Didn't they home run in the same game, or didn't they homer in the same game? At least at one point on the same team when they were with the Mariners. That's a pretty crazy one. Yeah, there are certain things that happen, though, within baseball. And it makes you remember why it's America's pastime. And when I looked up Carl Yastrzemski's stats, you just don't see baseball players like this anymore. And when I say you don't see them like this, I mean you just don't see players who play from the age of 21 to the age of 43 with the same team. And that's obviously because of all the contracts and the fact that players want to play on winning teams now. But you don't see that loyalty to the point where they're playing from 21 to 43 on the same team. From the 510, Billy Koch. Sheesh. That goatee. There was one time I was very young, and I'm still a relatively young buck. I'm 26 years old, and I was in fourth grade at the time and went to an A's Angels game, and I was sitting behind home plate because we got lucky. We knew someone who had the tickets, and we figured this is a once in a lifetime thing. We're gonna just pay for these. And Billy Koch was pitching, and he was pitching 98 miles an hour, which was not as common as it is now. And he threw one in the backstop, and you know those guys you see in the background when a foul ball is hit to the backstop into the net, or when a pitch just sails and you see the people flinch in the back? Yeah, that's what I did when Billy Koch threw a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. I think Troy Gloss hit a home run to left in that game. Anyway, from the 415, Babe Ruth could not play in today's MLB. Okay, fine. Maybe I am wrong about Babe Ruth. Jeez, are you serious? Are we really going to... You're really going to say that with confidence? Babe Ruth can't play in today's baseball. Come on. I mean, in today's baseball, if Babe Ruth were here, he wouldn't have just been eating hot dogs and beer and drinking beer before games. He would actually have a health regimen. If he was playing in today's game with the way that he was set up earlier in his career, then maybe. But with the trainers that you got now, the nutritionists and everything, I don't think I think you got to take all that into account, too, because Babe Ruth was practically just doing it all on his own. From the this is my favorite text from the 912. Are we really talking about pizza at 5 a.m.? Yeah. Yeah. And also from the 209. Really talking pizza at 5 a.m. on a sports radio station? I mean, when's not a good time to talk about pizza? Look, I had it last night, and it was the first thing that popped into my head, all right? I was just wondering, what's the best way to eat a slice of pizza? You don't have to get on me about it. Okay. I want to get your thoughts here. Chilton Auto Body text line 957-95-888-957-9570. Who would be your top five fan bases that you'd least like to be a part of right now? You may think the Dolphins are number one on that list, but I have an argument as to why that probably isn't so. Coming up next, we got some sound to play from Lewis Riddick. I know Jalen Ramsey was the talk yesterday, but we didn't get to this sound, and I want to talk about just where you're feeling, how you're feeling right now as a 49er and a Raider fan base. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 888-957-9570. Stephen Langford in with you on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
If you're just getting into your car, I opened the show up asking the best way to eat a slice of pizza. And there were a couple on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795, that weren't thrilled with the topic, but a majority were. And there are a couple here that really got me going. From the 510, pizza's the best in the AM. 831, there's nothing more sports than pizza. 510, it's okay to talk about pizza. It's bulking season. I'm of the belief that pizza for breakfast outside of other breakfast food is the best. Like, they're outside of, you know, just any sort of breakfast that you can think of, anything that's known as a traditional breakfast, I think that pizza for breakfast is the best type of food outside of the normal breakfast food to have for breakfast. There's nothing I like better than cold pizza. Maybe hot pizza. Hot pizza's pretty damn good. But yeah, just putting the first bite in the crust was kind of a revelation, or rather the third bite. And not just wait until the end just to leave the crust just on its own. Nothing worse than someone who just leaves the crust, just eats the pizza and leaves the crust in the box. Anyway, we do have actual sports to get to, and I do want to go through how you're feeling as a fan base right now, whether you're a 49er or a Raider fan. And I'm thinking before the season, everyone was in a different mindset. And then things can change week to week. That's what's amazing about football. And I talked about baseball earlier with Mike Yastrzemski's home run. The thing with baseball is there are certain moments that happen that have sentimental value. And there are certain stats that pop up where you can compare to the all-time greats like Marcus Semien with Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth. As nuanced as it is, he's still up there on the list with only those two guys right now who have the same five stats. But in football, the thing that makes it so great is that anything can happen week to week. We have all these preconceived predictions right now. We have these expectations for teams and what they're going to bring. But really, after 2 weeks of football, it's hard to say that we actually know what these teams are as of right now. But before the season, we think we know. And then we go into the season and we're like, maybe it's different. Because for 49er fans, some already putting the Mullins train on the track, you know? And for Raider fans, they didn't know what to expect with AB. And then without AB, everyone was kind of down. And then they saw what happened with the offense in that first game. And I think that brought every Raider fan's spirit up. And right now, when you're looking at what's happening with, say, the Jaguars, say what's happening with, look what's happening with the Redskins. Everyone just assumed that the Redskins could get the number one overall pick because they'd be without their quarterback. But Case Keenum, he doesn't have them looking like the worst team in football. You look at the Lions. They actually got a win against the Chargers, who are supposed to be a damn good team. Now, I don't know if they're going to go over or under that 7 win total that the Lions are supposed to have, according to Vegas before the season. Probably still under, but I think Lions fans have some hope. And if you're looking at the Dolphins, though, and I wanted to get the top five fan bases you'd least like to be a part of right now, because if you are looking at the Dolphins, you're thinking, I would not want to be a part of that fan base. And you're right, but all hope was lost before the season, and coming up, you're going to get, three first-round draft picks? You got five within the next couple of years? So you're going to have something with the Dolphins if you hit on those draft picks. There's at least hope. But right now, you don't know what's going to happen. And I would not want to be a part of a fan base, say, really right now, I would not want to be a part of the Saints fan base. I understand they have, but I understand that they have a good team around Teddy Bridgewater. But when Drew Brees goes down and the guy that you've been relying on, who's managed to stay healthy for a majority of his career, when he goes down, I wouldn't want to be a part of that. Would I put them in the top five fan bases I'd least like to be a part of right now? Probably not. But as of right now, this early in the season, I wouldn't want to be them. The Steelers, I don't know if I want to be their fan base right now. Their defense was supposed to be really good, but looking at them statistically, they're in the bottom three as far as defensive DVOA, which is defensive value over adjusted, which basically takes all the stats into account and uses them on like a weighted scale where they take everything into account, the situation, the efficiency of the team, and they're in the bottom half when it comes to defense, and they expect it to be good. And now Ben Roethlisberger goes down, and you don't know what you're getting in Mason Rudolph. James Conner, you don't know what he's going to do because he could be injured. Who knows if he's going to play on Sunday? From the 209 on the Chilton Auto Body Text Line, are you telling me that you can't tell that the Patriots and the Chiefs are the best teams in football? Fernando from Stockton. That is the only thing. That is the only thing I know. That's literally, that is the only confidence I have in my predictions there, is that I know the Chiefs are going to be winning the AFC West, and I know the Patriots are going to be winning the AFC East. That is about it. Really, when it comes down to it, and you think about it, there are maybe five, six teams you could name when it comes to the end of the season, and you can think, all right, they're good. You thought the Eagles were going to be that team, but right now they just lost to the Falcons. I know they were without a couple of their star wide receivers, but they're supposed to have the most depth in the league. And then you saw Nelson Aguilar drop that ball, and you don't know what to make of them. You don't know if they could do it in the big moments when other players go down. From the 831, I wouldn't want to be the Raiders. My team's leaving. Everything's a PR stunt. Thought we were going to win the Super Bowl because we had an Antonio Brown, and last year we traded Khalil Mack. And there's some who feel that way. But there are also those Raider diehards who just don't take the Vegas move into account, who will follow the Raider team wherever they go because of the name Raiders. But at least, though, with the Khalil Mack trade, it's going to sting forever, right? But that last year, I would have put them at that mantle last season. Last season was one of the worst, I think, had to be one of the worst years for Raider fans in, well, Raider history. Just traded away Khalil Mack. Team didn't look like they had any sort of direction. Traded away Amari Cooper. Last season was just a dumpster fire. But this year, the offense at least looks like it has some upside. You got young guys. And if you're following the team going into Vegas, then there is some promise that they could be kind of good when going into Vegas. But from the 831, you echo a lot of sentiments, I think, of Raider fans. But there are also a lot who just don't care that they're moving to Vegas and will follow the team wherever they go. From the 408, Miami, Jets, Arizona, Jaguars, Bengals. I think I have a tough time. I understand that the Cardinals are really, they're not that good of a team right now, but they haven't done anything drastic except hire Cliff Kingsbury. I think that'd be the reason why you would not have any faith in the team going forward. But right now, they got Kyler Murray. They got David Johnson. If they could somehow build in the trenches while those two are still young, David Johnson is still a pretty young player. In running back standards, he's about middle of the road right now. But even though he's still young, but in running back standards, until you get to, well, like age, when you get to age, what, 30, 29, 30, that's when you start becoming old, and he's already halfway to that. But being a Cardinals fan would stink, but also you've seen flashes from that number one overall pick. At least you get to watch Kyler Murray, who is an enjoyable quarterback to watch. But yeah, being a Jets fan right now would probably be when you saw what they did against the Browns, when Le'Veon Bell was just getting crushed in the backfield because that Browns defensive line was just pummeling through that offensive line. Yeah, I mean, I think being a Jets fan would probably be the worst right now. Being a Giant fan would not be that fun. We'll see how Daniel Jones does, though. And that question's popping up. It's going to be a sports radio topic that is going to plague sports radio stations. Maybe not plague. That's a too serious of a word. But is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? That's going to be a discussion, especially if he just doesn't go anywhere and he decides to just ride off into the sunset as the Giants' backup quarterback to Daniel Jones. But they've done this before. And then Eli was just a starter. From the 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, red sauce in the morning is priceless. Talking about pizza, from the 510, round table is the only pizza you can eat cold for breakfast. Everything else is trash. I disagree, sir. Now, round table is good to eat for breakfast, but I don't think that's the only pizza that is good for breakfast. I think there's a multitude of pizzas that are actually good for breakfast. That's that Wednesday content for you right there. How to eat a slice of pizza. What's the best way? Chilton Auto Body text line 957-95-888-957-9570. There was some sound yesterday from Lewis Riddick, or rather 2 days ago, that we didn't get to yesterday in the midst of everything going on with Jalen Ramsey. We only had an hour to talk about, and was getting so much reaction that I didn't even see this sound from Lewis Riddick, but this should give some hope to 49er fans, and I have a reason why Raider fans should err on the side of caution if they are thinking about what they need to give up for Jalen Ramsey. Stephen Langford in with you on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
So earlier in the show, we were talking a little pizza and the best way to eat a slice of pizza, as it is 5:36 in the morning. Good morning, by the way, and hopefully you're safe out there on the streets right now because, I mean, I've been seeing stuff, too much traffic. And the reason for traffic is never really a good thing, so just stay safe on the streets and be wary because it's not you who's really the bad driver, it's the other people you need to watch out for. So just be safe out there, people. Be safe. Unless you are the bad driver, in which case, be a better driver, please. Learn to merge. All right. Something happened last night, and this guy's grandfather is going to be joining Bonte, Steiny, and Guru, but this is something that happened last night, and I want to go forward and talk a little bit about what the A's got coming up in the wild card and then go back to a little football. But this is what happened last night with the Giants over at Fenway Park.
He does. High into center field. It is out of here. Unbelievable. Number 20 here at Fenway Park for Mike Yastrzemski.
And Mike Yastrzemski, shout out NBC Sports Bay Area for the audio, in his debut at Fenway Park, where his grandfather, Carl Yastrzemski, was an absolute legend, played there for 22 years. He hit a home run in his debut at Fenway Park. And this, to me, I said this at the beginning of the show, but this is the type of thing that keeps fans sticking around for baseball. There is that sentimental value to it. And there was a Chilton Auto Body text line text at 95795, if I could pull it up here. Let me check here. From the 650, September 15th, 1990, Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. hit back-to-back home runs. How cool is that father-son moment? There are certain aspects of it because there's so much history when it comes to baseball. It's been happening for so long. Little things like that pop up, and the fact that Mike Yastrzemski goes in there in his debut, hits a home run after Carl Yastrzemski did it for so many years. And looking at Carl Yastrzemski's stats, I mean, the guy was unbelievable. He had 3,419 hits, 452 homers, a career batting average of 285, 11,988 at-bats. He'll be joining Bonte Steine and Guru to get his thoughts a little later today. But something like that is pretty cool, I think. And there are elements of baseball that we don't like anymore. There are a lot of fans who aren't a fan of the three true outcomes in baseball, whether it's the strikeout, walk, or home run. And they just don't like the fact that the balls are just bouncing off the bat like golf balls. And there are others who enjoy the tradition of the game and don't really care where it's headed. They just love baseball. And this is one of the reasons. Because guys like Mike Yastrzemski come up, you're seeing, I mean, let's look at what Vladimir Guerrero Jr. did. He didn't win the home run derby, but his dad did back here in San Francisco. And seeing Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in his first year going into the home run derby and doing that, it's a pretty cool moment for the Guerrero family. It's just, there's a lot of history that comes with it, and I think it's pretty cool. Going forward, though, there is the A's, and they are two games ahead in the wild card right now, and I just want to touch on this really quick because I said this take about a month ago. Was it a month ago? Maybe just over a month ago. When AJ Puck made his first appearance, I went in with a hot take. I said AJ Puck going to be starting that wild card game. He's going to be starting it. And that was before Sean Manaea came back, and then Sean Manaea came out and started dominating. He looks like he'll be the one going forward to start this wild card game if they do keep it going, and I think they're going to because they're facing nothing but sub-500 teams the rest of the way, going against the Royals today again. Then they got the Rangers and the Angels and the Mariners. So they're looking like they're in a pretty favorable position right now to stay ahead in the wild card. And I mean, if you got guys like Matt Olson, who will just bail you out with a homer every once in a while, a 450-foot homer, which would have been more impressive 10 years back, but now it just seems so common. Matt Olson is one of those guys leading the charge who make these things so common. But yeah, isn't that funny? We look at a 450-foot home run, we think last night, it's done all the time. And we see it from Matt Olson all the time. We see it from guys like, we see it from everyone in the major leagues all the time. Mike Trout, before his season ended, we were seeing that all the time. Peter Alonso, Cody Bellinger, all these guys. Maybe not Christian Yelich. He's not known for the distance on his home runs. He doesn't do that consistently. But yeah, there are just certain guys who do this all the time, and it's just old hat now. It's not even impressive. But at the same time, it is impressive because you're thinking, damn, that's 450 feet. Chilton Autobody text line 95795 from the 415. Cal Ripken hitting a home run the day he broke Lou Gehrig's consecutive game streak. From the 510, has Bruce Bochy gotten his 2,000th win yet? I believe he is two away. Let me check that right now for you. Bruce Bochy, career record. I believe he's two away. Oh, he's one away now. One away from 2,000, which is a major achievement. And people who aren't Giants fans and want to nitpick and criticize will say, well, he's not even a 500 manager. But look at the teams that he's managed in the past. And just look at the amount of games. Just the fact that he's getting to 2,000 is unbelievable. From the 707. Don't forget, Vlad Jr. hit his first home run at Pac Bell. That's from the 415. Yeah. There's certain things. I mean, it's Oracle Park now. But yeah. From the 707. Can't believe they tried to trip you up on your updates on the morning show with their over-under. Have they not heard how polished you've become on your pregame show? They'll lose every time. But it's like, I mess up a lot on this show, man. I appreciate it. From the 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, don't matter if the A's make the wild card, they'll choke as usual. And you know what? I'm not going to lie. If you were listening to the pregame show far back, you would hear me saying, I don't want them making the wild card. I need them winning the division because I just don't trust the wild card anymore. That wild card scares me. it's a 50-50 game. And when the Giants made the wild card, that scared me. You know, and they got the win in the end and, you know, went on deep, obviously. Deep enough. Deep to the point of winning. But still, it's a scary prospect going into a game where you know just one game is on the line. I think the A's in a 5 or 7 game series can beat anyone. But that one game series scares me. That's just it. It scares me. All right. Lewis Riddick was with Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter, and he had this to say about Jalen Ramsey. And I know Jalen Ramsey news might be kind of old as of right now, but there is something that he said yesterday that I think should, or 2 days ago rather, that should have 49er fans excited, but also should have Raider fans feeling a little questionable, because I think Raider fans are just like, go out and get Ramsey. Do whatever you have to do. You can trade Gary and Conley if you want. You could trade away one of our first-round picks. Do whatever you have to do. Go get Jalen Ramsey. And I'm wondering if this sound makes you think a little different.
I think there's one team, without a doubt, he would be the cherry on top, and that would be the San Francisco 49ers, to be honest with you. Look, they've taken care of the first two levels of their defense. They have pass rushers galore now that can really make life miserable for opposing quarterbacks. They've got speed at linebacker. They kind of fixed their offense to a certain degree. Now, we'll see if they can sustain the performance that they've had through the first 2 weeks of regular season. They just need someone in the back end who can play the type of system that Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator, wants to play. Now, Robert Saleh was in Jacksonville, Jalen Ramsey's rookie year in 2016. So that makes sense as well. Think about the kind of players that they've been trying to acquire at corner. Think Richard Sherman. Think Jalen Ramsey. Think Richard Sherman with speed. That's Jalen Ramsey. So I think that's the team that makes perfect sense and could really propel them and catapult them.
So Lewis Riddick says that he feels the 49ers are the perfect team because of the best fit. And he knows what he's talking about. And the reason why I think if you were a Raider fan and you were on the Jalen Ramsey train, trade all the assets, do whatever you want to do, Lewis Riddick was a proponent for the Raiders this year. He had him as his sleeper team, and he's been watching them closely. If he felt that Jalen Ramsey was the perfect pick for the Raiders, he would have said that. He would have mentioned that because he's been on them all year. And the fact that he did not mention that, I'm not saying it should change your mind completely, but I think you should also think about the fact that Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville was not okay with how they were running the secondary. He likes to play man, and they play a lot of man, but for him, he complained about it for some reason. Even though they play just about as much man as anyone in the league. So for the Raider fans, you should just think about that. But for the Niner fans, does that sway your opinion entirely? Does that sway the fact that you think that Jalen Ramsey, with all his attitude and everything that went off his press conference yesterday, he says, all I care about is effing winning. Does that sway your mind, though, that a guy like Lewis Riddick, who is as credible as anyone, you saw him on the Monday Night Football broadcast, you heard how good of a job he did, he is going to be a future broadcaster for sure. But with Lewis Riddick, when he says that type of thing, does that change your mind? Chilton Auto Body text line, 957-95-888-957-9570. From the 650, man, after all this attitude BS with these effing players, I don't think anybody wants to pick up a liability in Jalen Ramsey's. Didn't finish the text. When he says, all I care about is winning, that's all I want to do, it's true. In his rookie season, Jalen Ramsey was the one crying on the sideline when they lost to the Lions. Now, our society right now, there are certain guys who look at that as soft. Why are you crying? What is this? But there are others on the other end of the spectrum who think, this dude is crying on the sideline. He cares so much about winning. We need this guy on the team. He's as competitive as anyone. I don't know which side of the spectrum you're on with that, but it does prove that he does care about winning, and that makes you wonder, if you do give him an extension, what if you stop winning? Because if you're going to sign Jalen Ramsey, if you're going to trade for him, you're going to need to give him a contract. The dude brought a Brinks truck to training camp. A Brinks truck to training camp. He's expecting to get paid. And his value right now is around $15 million a year, probably for 5 or 6 years. So I'm wondering if you really sign him for that long. This is a great season right now for the Niners. They're 2-0. They look to be cooking right now. But also, going forward, later on in the future, what if something happens next year or the year after that and you start losing? What happens with Jalen Ramsey then? And then you're watching the Jaguars and they might have gotten a first-round pick who is making an impact and doing something while not causing any trouble. That's where it is on both sides of this. That's where you look at the talent, you think one of the best corners in the game, if not the best corner in the game, certainly not the highest paid right now. Man, he's down. I don't even think he's in the top 10 as far as base salary for this year because he's still under a rookie contract. So looking at it, there is an extension that you'd have to give him. And from the 707, you got to pay Buckner. You got to pay Armstead. You got to pay Kittle. Don't know if you want to pay Armstead just yet. He's had the first 2 weeks, he looks like a completely different player. But if you want to pay him, that's another question too. He's looking like he's on the way to the 49ers swaying to that side. At first, you're thinking, pay Armstead. What? People were saying cut Armstead at some point. But now he looks like a different player. So there are guys that you're going to have to pay going forward. But, it's interesting. This Jalen Ramsey situation, when these come up and you hear that the 49ers are the best fit for him, and then if you're a Raider fan, you do hear he wants to go to Vegas, but that's just because of the non-taxes. He never said he wanted to be a Raider. You got to take that into account. A lot of Raider fans, when they hear that, they think, oh, man, this guy wants to be a Raider. No, it's just Vegas for the taxes, or for the lack of taxes, rather. So you got to take that into account. But Jalen Ramsey, man, I know it's the second day on Jalen Ramsey, and you're probably tired of the talk, but it's the biggest thing right now going in football. Minka Fitzpatrick already traded to the Steelers. You don't know what they're going to do with Mason Rudolph. There's going to be a more of a preview for the 49ers and the Steelers going into tomorrow's game, as well as the 49ers playing, or as well as the Raiders playing against the Vikings. But there are certain aspects of a team that you don't want to ruin. And Roger Craig said this a couple of days ago on Bonte Steiny and Guru. And he said something that I feel adding a guy like Jalen Ramsey, it could not completely change it or do a 180, but it would affect it.
They have a great culture going on with having Jimmy G, having Richard Sherman, having Shanahan and Lynch. Those kind of guys, they understand what it takes to go to that next level.
So Roger Craig mentioned that the 49ers culture is there and they just need to take that next step. And Jalen Ramsey, as talented as a player as he is, it doesn't seem like he'd improve the culture around there. He would have a guy like Richard Sherman, who is the leader of that defense. Would Jalen Ramsey want to be the second guy to that? Jalen Ramsey's, Calais Campbell's that veteran over there in Jacksonville. But he hasn't been able to contain Jalen Ramsey. Could Richard Sherman? Probably. But also, you got to look at where Jalen Ramsey's standing, and he's thinking, I'm a better cornerback than you. Why are you the one telling me what to do? I think that aspect we need to take into account as well. From the 831, I think about trading for Trent Williams. If they want to take a third and Witherspoon, I'd do it. Otherwise, it's not worth it. They're not going to take a third for Trent Williams. They're not going to take a third for that. At the very least, if you look at what OKC did with Paul George, you say, and they traded him to the Clippers, they at least got some pieces back that have them looking okay for the future, especially since Russell Westbrook's not there anymore. And I'm always comparing that to the NBA right now because we're seeing in the NFL what happens in the NBA, and Trent Williams is just not going to go for a third rounder and Akella Witherspoon. Keller Witherspoon still needs to do more in week two. It's kind of like Eric Armstead. They've had a great 2 weeks, but until they do it for an entire season, that's where you can think player or other teams would use them as trade pieces, but they wouldn't be like, yeah, Keller Witherspoon's going to make up for one of the best offensive tackles in the game. And Trent Williams, it doesn't look like that's going to be a possibility right now. They seem like they have faith in Staley coming back. If that's the reason why I don't want them trading for an offensive tackle like Trent Williams, because I would rather have Joe Staley. I would rather have the coaches and the GM have confidence that Staley is going to be coming back, because Staley, it's not just what he does as an offensive tackle. There are things behind the scenes that Staley does with that team that keep them together, like that Roger Craig 49ers culture he was talking about. He is part of that building of the 49ers culture. And so just taking that away from Staley, you're not just taking away an offensive tackle, you're taking away a leader of that team. And so I don't think it'd be worth it if just from a talent standpoint, because Trent Williams is a more talented tackle, but the intangibles that Joe Staley brings to that team, the stuff that you don't see on the field, what he brings off the field, it's a different story. So I think that the fact that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch seem to have optimism that he'll be back within 6 to 8 weeks. I understand he broke his fibula, which is major, but it's not his tibia. And the tibia is your shin. If you want to think about breaking your tibia, just take a knock on your shin. Think about breaking that thing. Man, we're getting a lot of Trent Williams things. From the 831, I meant I would think about Trent Williams trade. I'm not giving up a first for Ramsey. If we could trade a third and Witherspoon for Ramsey, I would do it. And from the 650, Vegas is the Raiders. You made no sense. Yeah, they're the team going to Las Vegas. And when he says he wants to play in Vegas, he knows the Raiders are going there. So ipso facto, if he wants to go to Vegas, he is going to play for the Raiders. And I'm saying that just because he said Vegas, it doesn't mean he wants to play for the Raiders. Does that make sense? He wants to play in Vegas, and if the Raiders happen to be that team, okay. But it doesn't mean he wants to play specifically for the Raiders and John Gruden. He just wants to play in Vegas. That's what I'm trying to get. That's what I was trying to get at there. Sorry if I didn't make any sense to that. From the 707, I think the 49ers should send Washington the first-round pick, Dante Pettis, C.J. Beathard, and Solomon Thomas for Trent Williams and his second-round pick. Damn, 707. You really thought that through. You're giving away three different situations there. Damn. And they're not going to trade away C.J. Beathard. They're not going to trade away C.J. Beathard, because if they would have, they would have done that already if they were going to trade away C.J. Beathard. Right now, you're stashing him away as that third round or that third backup quarterback, because that third string quarterback, because, well, Kyle Shanahan loves him and he was his guy and they traded up for him. So C.J. Beathard, I don't think he's going to go anywhere. Solomon Thomas and Dante Pettis, it seems like Dante Pettis is a Kyle Shanahan guy too. I know that he hasn't performed and whatnot, but the fact that Kyle Shanahan's even been critical of him in his press conferences previously, that means that he thinks there's something there with Dante Pettis. From the 510, you're a dumb bleep. That's exactly what it means. Get off the airwaves, clown. He just said he wants to go to Vegas because of the taxes, clown. That's it. He didn't say, I want to play for John Gruden and the Raiders. He just said, I want to go to Vegas because there's no taxes. From the 707, NFL games are won and lost in the trenches. From the 650, do not trade for Ramsey. If it is not broken, do not fix it. Yeah, and Peter King spoke with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday, and he mentioned this about Jalen Ramsey.
You have to really do some fact-finding on Jalen Ramsey, because at times he has been a disruptive guy. And if you trade for him, it's probably going to cost you something in the vicinity of, at best, a 1 and a 2, and maybe 2 1s.
So you wouldn't only be mortgaging your future for this year, or if there's this upcoming year, but you'd also be doing it for the year after that as well. So you got to think about that. It's not even just this draft where you don't have a second-round pick already if you're a 49er fan. You'd be getting rid of a first-round pick this year and a first-round pick the next year. And in those 2 years, that's when hopefully Jimmy Garoppolo's fully healthy. They get the running back situation sorted out, which they seem to have figured out right now with Matt Breida, but also you never know with him. You're building that defensive line. You're building that defense up. I mean, getting rid of not only this year's first round draft pick, but the next year's first round draft pick too. I don't know if I could. That's just too risky. Just feels too risky for me. All right. Coming up next, Joe Lo and Dibs. Look, Bonte Steiny and Guru are going to be joined by Carl Yastrzemski. Need you to tune into that because Mike Yastrzemski ended up hitting that home run at Fenway Park yesterday. I'm sure these guys will be hot on that. Thanks for joining me, everyone. I'll be back tomorrow, 5 to 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.